A pleasant good morning and welcome to another edition of Brass Tack Sunday right here on VOB 92.9 FM. Good morning to wherever you are in Barbados, across Eastern Caribbean or throughout the world. I'm Barry Wilkinson and we have an exciting program set up for you again today as we look at the role of elders in the political on the political platform. Of course, we are in the middle of a by-election in St. George North and the candidates have been out campaigning up to this morning. I know that they're at church services, various church services and other places. And we're going to have our show today as we discuss this topic, elders on the political platform, with the view that over the last 3 weeks, at least when this campaign has started, we've seen a very interesting ploy by both parties to have former candidates, elders, speak on the platform. And many feel that some of the comments that have been made and some of the input from these elders have not necessarily gone down well, and they have not really led anything to the by-election. It was against this background that I decided to speak to persons who, of course, are associated with both parties, the Barbados Labour Party, the Democratic Labour Party. Of course, we did reach out to Solutions Barbados. We might hear from Granville Phillips, but generally, the other parties are very young, UPP, Solutions Barbados, PDP, they're very young parties. The DLP and the BLP with a very rich history in Barbados would have quote-unquote elders, and elders don't necessarily mean old people, but people who have been in the business with their party for a very long period of time. So it's against this background that we're going to have on the show today Ambassador Liz Thompson, of course, who is in the United States. She's going to be with us. We're also going to hear a bit later on from Bobby Morris when he finishes his church service. And we have a couple of political scientists, including the noted one, Dr. George Brathwaite, who will also be talking to us about this topic. And I want to hear from you. You can feel free to question Liz, question Bobby Morris and others. 434-1790 is the number to call. 434-1790. This is Brass Tack Sunday. Our producer is Dennis Johnson, and is brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries.
You depend on BRC for genuine permaclad, colorclad, and permaseam steel roofing products. But did you know you can depend on BRC for installation too? That's right. BRC has several experienced roofing teams to handle your roof installation professionally, using tested and proven fasteners and methods with satisfaction guaranteed. When it comes to roofing, there's no substitute for experience. And BRC's crews will give you a great job at a great price. Have your roof installed by the experts. BRC.
Thank you so much and welcome back to Brass Tack Sunday. Well, let me first of all say good morning to my two guests, the first two guests we have. Liz, Ambassador Liz Thompson, all the way there from New York. Ambassador Thompson, good morning. How are you doing?
All right. You were having difficulty hearing me just now.
I'm now hearing you loud and clear.
Good. Good morning to you. Good morning to Barbados from an overcast and very chilly New York.
I would imagine it was actually overcast and raining here this morning in Barbados as well. So there must be something common running between the tread. I also want to say good morning to Dr. George Brathwaite. Good morning to you, Dr. Brathwaite.
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Barbados. Good morning, Ambassador Thompson.
Good morning to you, Dr. Brathwaite.
Now, Ambassador Thompson, before I get started into the meat of the matter, I just want to ask you, first of all, how is your mom doing? We know that you were here recently because her health was not the best. How is she doing?
Thank you so much for asking. And I also want to say thank you to the large numbers of people who contacted my family, who contacted me, who once I was walking around in Barbados, in the bank, on the street, in the supermarket, would come up to me and ask how she's doing. Mummy is at home on oxygen. Her doctors have put her on a cocktail of drugs that has made a significant difference. She celebrated her 96th birthday on September 23rd, which shocked the doctors that she was still around to be able to do so. She is doing much better than when I came. I think that I can tell you now, Barry, that when I left New York on a Monday, on the Saturday evening, the Saturday before I left, 2 days before I left, I received a call from my sister, and they her medical specialist, mummy's medical specialist in Barbados, who said to me that they didn't think that she could live a week at the most. And by the next day, they said to me that they just wanted me to know that it was entirely possible that by the time I got there on the Monday, because I secured a flight on the Sunday afternoon, that by the time I got there on the Monday, that she would be gone. And they wanted to prepare me for that possibility. That's now, I think, 4 or 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm. So long.
So that she has lived 5 months, and that the doctors say that, you know, being on the oxygen and the cocktail of drugs, I mean, they didn't even want to hospitalize her because they said there was absolutely nothing that they could have done to save her. So that she is still with us, because that was May. That was, I got the call on the 17th of May, and I came to Barbados on the 19th of May. So this is May, June, July, August, September. Is this October?
Yeah, we're October,
yes, 25th. 5 months, exactly 5 months, almost to the day. So thank you for asking. Praise God. You know, my family has strong faith. My sister has done a great job in caring for mommy, and she has a 24-hour nursing, and we've been praying hard. So with the care, the doctors' interventions, and just faith and God holding her up, she's doing remarkably well in all the circumstances.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm happy to hear that. And just quickly, what about yourself? I know you got caught by the COVID bug. How are you doing?
Oh, well, I thanks again to the doctors and caregivers in Barbados. You know, our story in COVID is not being told globally, but they have done, led by Dr. Corey Ford, who is the infectious disease specialist in charge of treatment, have done a remarkable job in and the fact that none of our caregivers have gotten COVID, even though they are doing the caregiving. None of the medical personnel get, which has not happened as far as I know throughout the world. You know, there's been a high incidence of medical caregivers, nursing caregivers getting sick themselves. Even here in the United States, I have been very supportive of Barbadian nurses who are on the front lines of care and who themselves have become ill. So I spent 3 weeks, 22 days in Harrison Point, 19 of which were in isolation, complete isolation, because I was in primary isolation. So it was a very singular sort of existence. And then on the 19th day, I went into the more common dormitories, because I had, they thought, recovered sufficiently well. But it was remarkable to me because I was completely asymptomatic when I was diagnosed. And, you know, it was a shock because you think you're coming to deal with your dying mother. A few hours, less than a day after I arrived, you get the news that you yourself are carrying a contagious disease and you have to go in to a complete isolation and quarantine facility. And, you know, you're being snatched away from your mom. And then you have to think about your own mortality. So it was a learning experience, a character building experience, one that I don't recommend to others and would hope that they would be spared. Well, but I'm doing very, very well, thank you. And, you know, I worked all the time that I was actually at Harrison Point and in Barbados. I worked right through the entire period because the UN closed in February, and we've been working remotely since then. So I continued to do my work. And now that I'm back in New York and they're starting to have a few physical in-person meetings again, rather than all virtual, I've been going out to meetings. So we continued, Barbados continued to make its mark. In fact, I represented CARICOM at a meeting right there from Harrison Point. Of course, I turned the video off, but I represented CARICOM at a meeting with the Secretary General. So I continued working, and thank goodness, thanks to the doctors, I was well enough to do so. But it's been an amazing year, generally and from a very personal perspective.
Well, that's a fascinating story. That sounds like a Brass Tack Sunday in itself. But look, let's get to the meat of the matter and why we are here. I want to ask you about, take me back to your days in the mid-90s when you were a young, quote-unquote, Liz Thompson, campaigning out there in St. James and looking to get into Parliament. We have a situation where there's a young Tony Moore, there's a young Floyd Reefer, a not-so-young Grenville Phillips, and some other candidates who are also trying to do similar in St. George North. And there has been I wouldn't say infiltration of elders on the platform, but there have been elders on the platform speaking. In your day, were they the infiltration of elders speaking on political platforms on behalf of candidates like we have now?
Yes, of course. There have always been elders speaking on the platforms for as long as I can remember. The first, in a general election, you tend to see them a lot because that is when the resources of the party are stretched very thin. And with a large number of national meetings to cover at night and spot meetings as well, you tend to see the elders appear a great deal. But I think that, if you don't mind, Barry, I think that we should start by trying to define elders because—
Yes, that's a very good point.
This expression emerge into the political lexicon in Barbados. Mm-hmm. And I'm not clear what they mean by elders. Does one become an elder because of one's age? Is one an elder because one has been politically involved at some level? And we can think of those who are maybe 70 plus as elders. In the Barbados Labour Party, there would be Sir Henry. I'm not sure in the Democratic Labour Party at the moment who would be former parliamentarians that are 70 plus. Are there people, are you describing the elders as those people who may have been around for a long time, around political parties and making some contribution and have run as candidates but have never succeeded in getting elected anywhere? Do you describe them as elders? Is one described as an elder irrespective of age if it has been a long time since one ran as a candidate? Does one have to be a former candidate or former parliamentarian to be seen as an elder? Are the elders those who have worked in the party for years but perhaps never really contested a seat? How are we defining elders? But having said that, I think people have a broad concept of who the elders are, who they may be. And I've tried not to make this a partisan discussion by calling names of people, for instance, who are around political parties but have never won a seat, but seek to lead public opinion. So how we define elders is important. I think that there has always been the presence on the platform of senior members of a party, however you define them. Mm-hmm. And by and large, they bring good value. They have a lot of experience. They know the history and traditions of the political party. They can tell you, for instance, why a particular piece of legislation came about or how it came about or the forces that were united against it, or the forces that were united to ensure that a particular piece of policy or legislation came through. I think the elders have tremendous value. When we look at what happened in St. George North recently, I think we are looking at a different phenomenon. It has nothing to do with the fact that an elder was speaking. I hear extracts from speeches where young people, some of whom have never been elected, and some not so young, who are on political platforms, who are talking, they're very ungrammatically, they're not necessarily making sense. A lot of what they're saying is inaccurate or untrue. And they're not elders because mm-hmm. they've never been elected. Some of them have never been candidates. Some are aspiring candidates, but are not necessarily young. And they're making errors on the platform too. Let us understand, and I think that I'm somebody who has done a lot of platform speaking at both the parochial level in spot meetings and in national meetings. Platform speaking is extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. People who stand by and criticize have no idea how difficult it is to make an effective platform speech. And it is not difficult at all to make errors while you are on your feet. Now, in the current climate with social media, it is a very harsh, unforgiving world, mm-hmm. because the whole nature of social media is that everybody knows immediately. It goes viral. People jump on it and they jump on you. Nobody I wants to make bad errors on a platform. They just happen. You're on your feet. You're making errors. You're thinking. Sometimes you aren't articulating what you are saying very well. You're not getting the words right. You know, that is what happens. That is what happens when you are speaking publicly, if you are not reading line for line. And line for line reading is not good public speaking at all.
Do you think that the comments made by Elder Bradshaw on the platform, do you think that that would have an adverse effect in, you know, the candidates, Tony Moore, going forward to perhaps take the seat?
Well, the comments were not made by Ms. Moore. Elder Bradshaw. Sorry, I'm just laughing at that expression. Elder Bradshaw, oh my goodness. So somebody might call me Elder Thompson.
That will happen. That will happen, Jesse.
So, Elder Bradshaw, my good friend Delisle, who is not to be hung and quartered for having made an error, for which he apologized. And he said, look, I am man enough to say that I misspoke. And he must be lauded for saying, look, I made an error. I made an error in the heat of the moment, which happens, has been pilloried for because of the whole social media climate, as I said. What was your question?
Yeah, and I was asking if you think they will have an impact against the candidate.
Oh, sorry, yes. No, I'll tell you why. Because it wasn't the candidate who said it. He has apologized for it. And because people know that under the Barbados Labour Party, it was not under the Barbados Labour Party that the national stadium used by sports persons became derelict. People know that the Barbados Labour Party put money into the gymnasium to keep it going when it had been neglected. People know that we properly funded the National Sports Council. People know that it was under the Barbados Labour Party that Sir Gary was recognized as a national hero. People know that it was the Barbados Labour Party who has knighted cricketers and lifted up and elevated sports persons. It was under the Barbados Labour Party that the whole cricket legacy has been pushed, and the cricketers have gotten a property and so on from which they can use. It was under us that we got a new cricketing stadium. It was under us that cricketers, several of them, when they go through lean periods or certainly during the times that they are preparing, there has been a policy by the Barbados Labour Party to give cricketers jobs. Several have benefited from it. Suleiman Ben, Philo Wallace, Kurt Wilkinson, Corey Cullimore, Floyd Rifa, Sherwin Campbell. All of these cricketers have been employed under Barbados Labour Party governments to ensure that they were working and earning. It was under the Barbados Labour Party that a mechanism was developed that allows them to get benefits like duty-free cars, which they were never entitled to before the Barbados Labour Party. And again, several cricketers have benefited from it, including the same candidate for St. George North. So I think that people understand that Delisle spoke. It has nothing to do with being an elder, that it was a platform error. And over time, people have made many different types of platform errors for which they have apologized. And that he said it in the heat of the moment. He was man enough to apologize. The party has done enough to show that it is supportive of sportsmen, respectful of sports persons, willing to elevate them to high status in our country. People understand that, they know that, and therefore the people of St. George North will not hold that against the Barbados Labour Party. I will not hold that slip of the tongue against the Barbados Labour Party and against the candidate Tony Moore. It was a badly framed, a badly worded point. He wanted to make a point. The speaker wanted to make a point. He did not frame his point well. But it is not something that is worthy of punishment of the existing candidate, especially given the track record of the Barbados Labour Party with cricketers and sports people generally.
George, let me bring you in here on this point, George, Dr. George Bathitt. From your political scientific point of view, how do you see the view of Ambassador Thompson in terms of making it into the political race for the BLP and the DLP and perhaps any other parties who are participating? How do you see those comments?
I endorse the things said by Ambassador Thompson. I think when I heard the statement, automatically I was a bit taken back. But I did something a little bit more. I went and I listened to the whole speech. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was quite a dynamic speech. In fact, I was shocked that a man approaching 80 years old still had so much energy and the knack for really bringing things to mind and creating a presence. So to me, that was stimulating. But in terms of the comment itself, I think, yes, it was a badly phrased. Perhaps one can go on and say it, unfortunate. But in the context of the Barbados political climate and the way that political campaigns have evolved over the years, it was perhaps one of the least offensive statements that I could have heard.
You're talking about this political campaign?
I am speaking about the history of political campaign and the ones that I have followed for the last 30 years or so. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm saying that if we really want to look at something immediate, I am still really and totally disappointed in what would have emerged in 2018 in terms of political platforms. I'm not going to cast blame, but I think that people, while you can misconstrue or you can, you know, have different perceptions and understandings of things said on campaign trails, I think another important thing that you must accept from the ambassador is that it is a difficult job to speak on a political platform and mistakes will be made. But if you put it all in the context of Beijing and Beijing campaigning and platform speeches, I think it has been, there's a lot of overreach there. Indeed, I think Mr. Reefer, after recognizing that an apology was made, I think he should have let that matter settle or decided to use his bat and play a stroke of elegance.
But George, let me ask you this question. While we are speaking about elders on the political platforms, we still have not heard on platforms from some member of parliament. What is the role then for elders speaking? What is the purpose of them speaking by election level? If we haven't heard from some other MPs, what do you think is the strategy from both parties to have them come on the platform and speak?
It is fundamental, particularly when we look at the Barbados Labour Party and the Democratic Labour Party, two parties that are, you can say, call them mature political parties. It is important that you are able, through your speakers, to be able to define the philosophies of those two political parties, to demonstrate that there is grounding, base, and there is a reality to which they all are working in terms of the objectives. And that is why you need the continuity. You need the elders to demonstrate that beginning, but you also need the intergenerational aspects that it helps to build those types of bridges. So it is history and it is contemporary. It is bringing the underlying philosophy, and at the same point in time is being able to connect with the issues of the day. And I think that is the strength of it. The newer parties, of course, would struggle because they would not necessarily have that elder unless you're going to speak in terms of elder in terms of age or community experience. But even then, those are things that you can draw on. But it is fundamental that the political parties, and particularly, as I said, the Barbados Labour Party and the Democratic Labour Party, establish that they have a history in Barbados, and particularly post-1966. They both have represented this country. They both have done what many would suggest would be in their best of times, they've worked for the people of Barbados. And I think that persons that can demonstrate that history and connect with the issues are doing precisely what elders should do in a political party and keep that gel there so that you keep the political party intact.
All right, let's take in a couple of calls. We got the lines beeping up. 4341790, let's say good morning to our first caller. Good morning to you. You're live on Brass Tack Sunday.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
Fine. Mr. Morris is in the studio yet?
No, he's not. He's not with us as yet.
I'm going to give you a question for him, though.
Okay. You can give me the question. When he comes on, he'll answer it.
Right. But let me just let's say a special hello to my favorite politician and Barbados's best platform speaker, Ambassador Thompson.
She's listening to you, so you go ahead and tell her.
No, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. That's what I said. Now, I think this whole issue is blown out of proportion about the comments that Mr. Bartram made. Firstly, I don't believe, in fact, I believe it's a generalized comment as opposed to being specific about Mr. Weaver. It's a generalized comment. You had the other side that made specific comments to people that was much more ridiculous than that, where the speakers never apologized. It's important to realize Mr. Bradshaw has apologized as well. Like former Prime Minister Stewart, when he got out six rows, in 2000, idiots, the said words, that they're accusing Mr. Bradshaw. Idiots, he never apologized. And several other things. Mr. Ronald Jones cracking heads and shooting people. Mr. Chris Sinclair telling the Prime Minister that me and Miss Morley I think strip naked and run down Broad Street. Mr. Ronald Jones also talked about described the teachers as despots and the students as demon possessed. The list goes on and on, but I know you don't have much time. Now, but you know what is reprehensible? When the DLP launched their campaign in the last general election, when speaker after speaker got out, and there were elders, there were members of the DLP, ministers, etc., and all of them launched a verbal attack on Ms. Motley. No one apologized. But this is the question, I don't know, you can't go on for long. The question I want you to put to Mr. Morris when he comes in. Mm-hmm. Mr. Morris said on the 17th of April 2016, he said on September 16th, he called on the white Barbadians to apologize. But he was adamant that the DLP has nothing to apologize for. I will let you to put that to Mr. Morris. Because, as I said, the DLP has a history of making comments, and they don't apologize. They virtually destroyed Barbados during the last 10 years. And he is saying that they don't have to apologize. They should apologize to Barbados, man.
Well, I remember Chris Sinclair, he made a comment on the political platform, which was seen as offensive. But he definitely apologized for that. I remember that. I take your point, but I cannot agree with you that the comments made by Mr. Bradshaw on the particular occasion were not direct. I mean, if you're saying that...
Wait, was.
Because if you're saying that any idiot could play cricket, and the candidate that he's speaking about is a cricketer, that's extremely direct. How more direct you want to get than that?
No, that's not direct. That's not direct.
But it was straight in the context.
No, people
I could make a point, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
It arises out of a comment that the speaker, the caller is making, which I think is legitimate and very valid. And it has to do with the very rich irony of the behavior of the Democratic Labour Party in this matter. This is a political party that started its 2018 campaign with the worst kinds of vilification and abuse. They called me Mother Sally. I mean, I'm shaped like many Black women. I have butt, I have boobs, I have hips. If they want to call me Mother Sally, then that is how God made me. But they started with the worst kind of vilification of the then leader of the opposition, now the current prime minister. They might abuse us real bad then, to use a Bajan expression. And on the day following, when the people of Barbados said, oh no, this is offensive, this is disgusting, that this is how a Democratic Labour Party, a sitting government, the Errol Barrow Party, would start its campaign, and that the women in its party, like Verla, like Irene, who were all candidates, endorsed it and were there and applauding and laughing and so on, and did not decry that behavior, no less a person than the Prime Minister of the day, Prime Minister Stewart, when he was asked about it the next day, doubled down on his comments and said they have a narrative and a story to tell and it has to be told. There was and will be no apology. And there was no apology. They have nothing to apologize about. So that a party that is capable, and you know the campaign rhetoric up from the DLP side went down from there. There's a lot of it on social media. For a party that has that kind of behavior, endorse that behavior at the highest levels, to now become so hypocritical as to say that this elder who made an error is to be vilified, especially in the light of all the Barbados Labour Party policy and interventions that I have highlighted, is a rich kind of hypocrisy that I am just amazed and amused at, and that people would listen to them with it. And in talking about the things that the BLP has done, one of the things that I omitted is that this Barbados Labour Party has also built pavilions, playing fields, and sports facilities all over Barbados, in all communities, with lights where they did not exist before. So the record of the Barbados Labour Party for sports persons is one on which we can stand and of which we can be proud and which we can boast, even in the face of the error and the slip which was apologized for, made by Elder Bradshaw, because we don't apologize for the strong policies that have advanced sportsmen, sportspersons, and in particular cricketers. And it is interesting that the Democratic Labour Party candidate, who has benefited from the Barbados Labour Party sports policies, would himself seek to keep this going as an issue. And it is they are using this as an issue because they cannot quarrel with the support that the Motley administration has given in the time of COVID to people in every sector of the economy, small business, women, poor people, adopt a family, the tourism sector, 80% of their salaries now people are going to get, all of the new policies outlined in the throne speech and the new initiatives that will put people to work even when tourists and foreign exchange are not coming in. It is because the Democratic Labour Party is still vacant of strong leadership and strong. I mean, you look at some of their, who is advertised to speak on their platforms, some people who have never won a seat in Barbados, people who the electorate have rejected 2 and 3 times. It really is rich with irony.
Having said that, Ambassador Thompson, how do you view Anthony Wood, who has not lost 2 or 3 times? He's actually a pretty successful minister in the Barbados Labour Party. Now, endorsing a member of the Democratic Labour Party, how do you view his comments as an elder, speaking on the Dems platform, and how do you view him moving away with some very strong comments that things are not all so well in the Bees? Let's hear about that one.
Well, it is clear to me when you listen to, I didn't hear all of his speech at St. George, I heard extracts of it. I also heard extracts from a speech that he would have made, I think, in St. Philip, soon after he would have left the Barbados Labour Party. People leave political parties, criticize them, they move back and forth and so on. And we would welcome Mr. Wood back if he wanted to come back at any time, because that is the nature of politics and political parties. But it seems to me that Mr. Wood had a very personal grievance. I don't know if he had hoped perhaps that coming from St. Philip as the more senior person, he may have been the minister and not Mr. Weir. He was making the point that he was trying to have a meeting with the prime minister and that the meeting did not take place. I mean, in the time of COVID, in these very serious circumstances, if the prime minister is really busy doing things at the national level and asks you to wait, give her some time so that she can get you to have a meeting to discuss a personal matter, I don't know that it warrants leaving a party. There will always be criticisms that things aren't well. There are people who used to criticize Prime Minister Arthur, but now that he is, when he died, you heard how what a wonderful man and a wonderful prime minister he was. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are issues here that perhaps the political scientists might want to explore.
Yeah. George, I'm going to bring you in. Before I do that, I'm just going to go back to the telephone lines and bring in another caller. I'll get your intervention on that. Hello. Welcome. You're live on Brass Tacks Sunday.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, my dear.
Hi. I know the topic is about politics, but I'm calling about the water issue in Boscobel, St. Peter and surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pleading for water authority to put back on the water. Today is Sunday. The water was on yesterday, nor today. It often since March, since COVID started. We've been having this problem. All I hear them say the last time when they call on Brass Tacks, that they're going to do some desal plants. And they're going to take them 2 years to build. We cannot live like this for 2 years. Bathing oka salt bottles, washing dishes, and cooking oka salt meat buckets. Drink bottles. We washing, we fierce, we drink bottles. My God, nobody out there to hear us this cry.
Well, yeah, no, I'll really reiterate, if the Barbados Water Authority or anybody from the BW is listening, even the minister, the manager, general manager, please. That sounds like a desperate plea there for help there in Boscobel, St. Peter, you said? Yeah, okay, Boscobel, St. Peter. All right, thank you very much for that. Not to water down the discussion, Dr. Braffitt, but she's making an impassionate plea. Back to the point that Liz had just made. How do you want to respond to that before we go to another caller?
I do not really want to get into the internal politics of the Barbados Labour Party. Certainly for information which I have only been fed precisely what has been in the public domain in relation to Mr. Wood and the Barbados Labour Party. However, my reading of it in terms of his being on the Democratic Labour Party platform, I was somewhat shocked. And I could perhaps understand why the Democratic Labour Party may want to gravitate to him to the point of putting him on their platform, because it could come across to some persons as an embarrassment on the Barbados Labour Party. And that, again, is something not new in the political annals of Barbados. It has happened before. Indeed, the very person who we are suggesting misspoke, one of, but also recall he ran on the debt. So these things are not necessarily unusual. But obviously, the Democratic Labour Party saw it as sort of a utility to grab him at this particular time and hoping that the vexatious nature of what he might say might be embarrassing to the BLP. And at the same point in time, the BLP has largely overlooked it as saying, well, no problem. They're not able or the evidence suggests that they have a very good candidate, and they're going based on the track record and the fact that the seat has been with the Barbados Labour Party for the last 26 years.
All right, you're listening to Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries. When we come back, more from you and our guests.
Williams Metals, choose us for your building needs at Williams Metals. We got what you need. We are the leaders in building materials. We offer lumber, cement, concrete, copper, aluminium, and all type of metals. For construction, get galvanized sheets, welding and plumbing products for sure. You can find that and so much more. Friendly staff to help with your search at King Gardens, St. Thomas, and Lowlands Christchurch. Williams Metals.